connecting you to Kansas City through local news, topics, and conversations. It's the Tim and Tom Show. Woo! It is the Tim and Tom Show. Another week has gone by in the city of Fountains. We're going to tell you about it. And we might even tell you about the week coming up.
We might.
We might. We also have another guest on the show. We do that every week. We have Cody Tapp, verified on Twitter. He's a celebrity. You'll find that out in the interview.
I misheard you. I thought you said bear fight on Twitter. I
was like, bear fight on Twitter. Yeah, Cody Tapp is going to fight a bear live on Twitter.
Yeah, he is verified.
He's a local radio celebrity on sports radio, WHB 810 AM, and their sister station as well as an ESPN affiliate.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see what's on tap with Cody Tapp.
Hey! I think that's actually like the name of his show.
So. I know. Yeah. But we are too. We're going to see
what's on tap. Yeah, we're going to see what's on tap with Cody Tapp. Stick around for the second segment. That's a good interview. We always record them before we do this one, so it sounds like we're like we know already what we're talking about. We're almighty. We're all-knowing.
That's factual.
That is yeah, I feel like that should go. It didn't need to be said. Yeah. It's bad radio.
Yep, you should know that.
All right, so Tom, how was your week?
My week was good.
Yeah.
It was. I witnessed the greatest sports upset ever. I'm a big fan of mixed martial arts.
Okay.
Ronda Rousey got beat by Holly Holm.
Yeah.
Holly Holm, the seventh ranked fighter in the division.
So Buster Douglas maybe beating Mike Tyson doesn't?
That's on par. Yeah.
That might be up there too, huh?
But Mike Tyson sucks.
Okay.
Like, seriously, if you think about, like, not to go off topic, but Mike Tyson is the only sports athlete to be defined by his losses.
Yeah, it's true.
The only person.
I'm glad you said he sucks because we've got him right here. Mike, come on in.
Let him hit me. I'll sue him. Right. Fine.
Let's
buy my ear.
Do it. Yeah.
Buy my ear. It's
buy
fine.
My ear. Let's do it.
No, Mike Tyson sucks. Ronda Rousey does not.
Okay. Yeah. And so you saw that?
Saw that. It was incredible. It just mind blowing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still in shock now.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I got to say, I didn't watch the fight. I'm not as big an MMA fan or really, I don't dislike MMA, but I just am not a avid, like, I don't watch it, you know? But I did see that come across, and I instantly thought, well, that's big. Because I do know enough, being, you know, friends with you and following enough of
the
storylines.
Wait, we're friends?
You know, more of acquaintances.
Yeah, no, you said it. It's on air.
You know, this
I've
is recorded.
Got a friend.
I can take that out.
Friends.
I'll edit that out in post.
No.
but, yeah, no, I knew that was big news. I saw that and I went,
huge news.
Yeah, I thought this is going to be a topic of conversation.
It is. Woo! Yeah. Man, it was insane.
Yeah.
But other than that, kind of a slow week. For me personally, obviously, we have, you know, national things like what happened in Paris, that kind of news, but
sure.
For me personally, nothing too much going on.
Yeah, me neither, really. I mean, just
I'm switching hours.
Yeah, you're going back to 8 to 5. You've been at 10 to 7.
10 to 7 for 9 months.
That sounds great. You're like, I don't have to wake up till 9 or whatever.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And then you stay there when everyone leaves at 5.
Especially
and you're like,
now.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm here for 2 more hours.
Yeah, everybody's like, hey, what, you still here?
Yeah, and the other thing is, I didn't have like a crew. It was just me by myself.
Ew.
So I was legitimately
trusted you to be there 2 hours by yourself.
I know.
Oh, this place is going out of business in a day now.
So yeah, hopefully I have a job tomorrow morning.
Clearly not the best decision maker.
No,
that's terrible.
But yeah, so I go back to 8 to 5 starting tomorrow morning. So that should be fun.
Get
to
like that. I like
get
that.
Get back to going to a real life.
I just spent a week. You know, we're getting the house ready. We're having my parents coming up soon for the Thanksgiving.
That's coming up soon.
And we will be attending a K-State versus KU football game in Lawrence.
Let's play some football.
Neither of the teams doing quite so well or well at all.
No one in the Metro as far as football is doing well.
Chiefs?
Well, but
Chiefs
still have a losing.
Beat the Broncos today.
Yeah, still have a losing record.
Yeah.
And as we found out from the interview that we've already done.
Yeah, Cody's got some insights and thoughts onto the Chiefs. But we'll avoid that conversation for now because we always kick this first segment off with local news, and we try to stay away from stabbings, shootings, things like that. We want to talk about stuff that'll make you happy, Something to make you smile.
Come
it's
on.
The positive news.
Hey, and first, the first news we broke at the start of the show, we're friends.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Friends for life. Friends for
if you're going to use a really broad, generous definition for that term.
Uh-huh. Totally. Yeah. 100%. Friends. I've got a friend.
Like, you know, yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just do some news. Area single mothers are being given a hand up by learning to become dog groomers. The charity organization, Empowering the Parent to Empower the Child, is opening a dog grooming school at 58th and Prospect and giving 10 single mothers the chance to learn the craft free of charge. They may use those skills to earn income later in their currently understaffed dog grooming industry.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
Good for them.
Because
I like
it's also
that.
Good for like the school. Because even if you're going to, say, charge people later to go to that school, now you have a crew of people that can say, hey, the school was great. It learned, you know what I mean? It helps everybody.
It does.
A win, win, win. And them dogs need grooming.
They do.
There's some mangy dogs out there.
Mm-hmm. My dog needs grooming.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is they've got to go just grab stray dogs and groom them. No, that's terrible.
Right, yeah, no.
That's terrible. No, so that's good. I like giving a helping hand out to people. Yeah?
Yes.
The Greater Kansas City Restaurant Association presented a $123,000 check to the families of fallen firefighters Larry Leggio and John Mesh this week. The funds were collected during the Dining for Heroes fundraiser put on by nearly 200 area restaurants to help the families after the recent highly publicized deaths of the local firefighters.
Good. That's good. Great.
See, that's a good chunk of money, too.
Well, and it's good to see the execution of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's always great in any time of, you know, need or, you know, things that happen that are catastrophic, we all feel the need to help, right?
And there's a fundraiser.
Right, there's always this. But then you really never hear of the part two of that. You know what I mean? It's the, hey, come out. We've got this person, this. Donate this for this and this and this.
Yeah, they didn't just drive by and give them a check. They'd right. Like, hey, everybody.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And it wasn't like a 50-50 raffle and you don't know where it's going, that kind of stuff. Like, this is good to hear that it's like, here's the dollar amount and it went to the families.
Right.
So that's good to hear.
I like it.
I like it.
A bank robber is in custody this week after the security guard at the Bank Midwest on Ward Parkway trailed and apprehended the suspect after he held up the bank and took off with the money.
That's a little nerve-wracking, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as cool as that sounds in theory and,
it's,
like,
it's not an awesome, encouraged, usually.
Right, yeah. And you know how awesome that would be in, like, a movie? You know what I mean? But, like, hey, man.
And as sad as it sounds, security guards are typically supposed to be there for presence purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to give the presence. But I'm sure they're told in very strange, if you can't 100% assuredly safely for everybody's safety, including yours, stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a hero.
Don't be a hero.
Right?
But he was.
Because the guy doesn't want to kill people. He wants the money.
Right. And it right? Well, it's good to hear that it happened safely.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And nobody was hurt.
No one was hurt. Guy did the crime. Now you got to do the time.
Do the time.
Come on.
Thanks to security guard. I don't know. I didn't get the guy's name, but
we're going
to
call him security guard.
Security guard Joe.
We'll call him SG security guard.
Yeah. Miriam parents of special needs children can now feel a little safer as the Miriam Police Department began offering GPS bracelets and watches to families of children with disorders like autism. The program, paid for through federal grants, allows families to track the children that may wander off through a phone app or by alerting police who can track them. The bracelets have a locking function, and the watches have limited phone capabilities as well. The devices come with 1 year of service prepaid.
Boom!
It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because, that's great.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's...
It's so difficult. I mean, it really is.
Right.
To be a parent, to be a guardian, to even be a babysitter. You know what I mean? Like, all of those responsibilities of a special needs child, and on top of it, they're a child.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, anything that can help, yeah, and this definitely will,
well,
is
a lot of these special needs
welcomed.
Like that, yeah, they like to wander or elope in some instances.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And, yeah, if you lose them, yeah, it's nerve-wracking as a parent. I can tell you, like, the moment you don't know where they are,
mm-hmm, oh, I can only
everything
imagine.
Stops, and, yeah, it's an emergency situation.
So if you have not a crutch but a safety net, really,
yeah,
of like,
yeah,
okay, look, I have to be on my game.
Right.
But if I do slip up, because human error exists,
mm-hmm,
at least I have this where, right, I can go to.
Well, and also, I mean, depending upon the age, sometimes you want to start allowing them to do some things that children do. You know, you want to go to a friend's house or something.
Uh-huh.
But now you don't know if they wander off.
Yeah.
So now you have that backup. And that's good.
Great.
Marion Police Department. 3 Kansas City Royals earned Golden Gloves this week. Alcides Escobar won his first Golden Glove. And Eric Hosmer and World Series MVP Salvador Perez all earned the honors for their third straight year. In addition, Lorenzo Cain became one of 3 finalists for the American League MVP award to be announced on November 19th. You kind of knew this was coming, right? People were going to get some awards. And
yeah,
stuff like that.
Of course. When you win the World Series, someone has to win an award.
Right,
you can't just have all C players and win the World Series.
Clearly, you had some good players.
Right, yeah. So it's good to see that they were honored and recognized. But I really thought. So it was Escobar,
Hosmer, and Perez.
I really thought Moustakas would get it.
Yeah, you would have thought, huh? Because he had some big plays during the postseason.
You know, he was kind of, I guess, well, it's a regular season award. But you always think, I think the postseason needs to be, like, implemented in this, too. Because, man, in the postseason, he was making stellar plays.
Yeah. And, well, and now, he had an injury and stuff for a lot of the year, Alex Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he won it 4 years straight and didn't get it this year. I mean, he was platinum last year.
Platinum.
You know?
Platinum,
right?
Baby.
That's what it is, right? The platinum goes to the...
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the award that goes to the top one, basically?
Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say that.
Dana.
You're the big baseball fan here.
I'm a baseball fan, but I don't know things. I'm the dumb one, too, so, you know.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You're my dumb friend, huh?
Hey! We're still friends!
Area students suffering from headaches can now manage their ailments better through a website launched by Children's Mercy and the Olathe School District. Open to students of any district can educate and provide resources to students on early identification and management of headache problems. School nurses can help students with the new headache tool to help avoid missing school time and being in pain unnecessarily too long. The Olathe School District alone reported over 5,000 middle and high school students visiting the school nurse for headaches last year.
Headaches are a crazy thing, man.
They are.
Because it's something you can't see.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's not like
the nurse can test it.
Well, and terrible migraines can be debilitating. They can be a showstopper. And people don't, again, you can't see it. So you tell somebody, I got a migraine,
mm-hmm.
and you're in a school or a work environment, they're like, whatever.
Right, yeah. You just don't want to take the test.
And the problem is they typically, if somebody has that, it doesn't just happen once.
Right.
I mean, it's chronic.
Oh, yeah.
You get that. And so that creates problems in school and work and stuff.
Yeah, I think the most famous headache migraine case was back in the late 90s, Terrell Davis, the running back for the Denver Broncos.
Right.
He retired because of it.
Yeah.
Like, now, he had a little bit more because he was getting hit in the head.
My wife has had migraine problems for a long time.
Yeah.
And I just see it like it ends it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's day's over. You've got to lay in bed and and hope that tomorrow's a better day.
It's just such a tricky, and it's good to see that they can do these things kind of preemptive, because it's such a tricky thing, because you could be like, I got a headache. No, you don't. You just don't want to go to school. You know what I mean?
My wife has started to learn how to manage somewhat, because early identification is key.
Right.
And they give you some medications, but they're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times insurance doesn't want to cover them.
Nope.
And so there's things, you know, so you start trying to track. Is it based on dehydration? Am I drinking enough water? Is it food-based? Is it stress-based? It's terrible. And it's good that schools are finding resources to help, you know, help people.
Yeah. Help the health.
Help the health. Yeah. Hashtag help the health.
Yeah.
Don't get those backwards. You want to help the help. Yeah, maybe you do.
Anyway.
The Humane Society of Greater Kansas City saved a dog from being euthanized this week by getting it placed to be a service animal. The dog, named Joker, was put through various tests via the canine enrichment program at the shelter. Joker will go to Indiana for a few months of specialized training to then be assigned to a diabetic patient to help alert them before problems may arise. Joker is the first dog from the shelter to go on to become a service animal through this program, but the Humane Society hopes many more animals can follow in his footsteps.
Yes!
In his paw steps.
Haha, in his paw steps.
His paw prints.
Yeah, his paw prints. Yes, I like that. That's better. Yeah. But good, man!
Yes.
I love dogs!
You are... Big dog lover. I don't hate dogs or anything, but I'm not the dog lover when people say they're dog lovers, but my wife is a huge dog lover.
Dogs are my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, we have 3 dogs.
Good. You need 10.
You can have 4 in Olathe, and I'm trying to not get to 4. I don't mind dogs.
I love them.
But it's a lot of dogs.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of dogs.
I love
but
dogs.
But I do like that there's...
Yeah.
You know, when I hear a shelter's no-kill shelters, that always makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And that's a good way to use them.
Right?
You know what I mean?
I'm glad they're at least doing these tests. Like, hey, could we find the next service animal?
Right. And if can't, then let's try to find it to get adopted. But first, let's see if it can help someone.
Yeah.
Because at any age. Help the health. Yeah. Help the health. Because at any age, a dog can still help a person.
Right.
If they meet the requirements. Of course. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can teach an old dog a new trick. I hate that saying. Because you can. Uh-huh. But good. Good, good, good on the Humane Society of Greater Kansas City.
Humane Society.
What did I say?
Human Society.
Nope, I meant humane. Applaud them.
Well, they're humans.
They are humans. So good for them. I like that story. That warms my heart.
Yeah. Final one. A memorial was dedicated this week for the 114 people that died in the infamous Hyatt Skywalk collapse of 1981, considered to be, by many, one of the darkest days in Kansas City's history. The memorial stands outside of where the collapse happened in what is now the Sheraton Crown Center. Skywalk Memorial President Brent Wright, whose own mother and stepfather were killed in the collapse, spent 9 years raising over $500,000 for the construction of the memorial, which features a sculpture evoking an image of two people dancing. The Skywalk collapsed from a design flaw while people were attending a hotel tea dance.
Man.
Yep. I was young enough. I was born before that happened, but obviously I was one or less, depending on the exact date that happened, but... I remember hearing about it in my youth, and I know that was a big story. I mean, that was a national news story. That was a big deal.
Yeah, and I think what's important from making this memorial is now it's giving that history its respect.
Yes.
Because as someone that grew up in the 90s, I honestly never heard of this. I never heard of it. I only heard about it until, honestly, I want to say maybe 6 or 7 years ago, because a coworker of mine, his parents, one of his parents actually died in this collapse. And I was like, I never knew about it. And they were older. And so they were looking at me like,
You idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're in Kansas City. You don't know its own history. So it's good to see that at least this will either create a conversation and you'll understand your city better. And also awareness.
It'll
like
help with remembrance.
Right, exactly.
It's so, the memorial.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like it. It's good stuff.
That's good. So there's the news this week.
Hey.
Good week in Kansas City.
Yep. Good week.
All right. Well, then we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot of sports. Yeah?
We love them sports in Kansas City.
Sports with Cody Tapp of WHB. But that's when we return to the Tim and Tom Show on the Trending Topics Network. It's the Tim and Tom Show. It is the Tim and Tom Show. Back again. I thought I was worried coming in this week about the Chiefs, but, you know.
Yeah.
They pulled it out. I say that because we sit here in the same studio they use for Chiefs pre- and post-games.
So. Yeah, we thought we'd have to do this a little later than usual. Ha-ha!
But not so much.
LOL, we do not.
Not so much. And since we're on the subject of Chiefs and
Kansas City sports,
thereby Kansas City sports, we've got what you would call an expert on the subject. We have Cody Tapp of 810 WHB. Cody, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going, everybody?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Well, it's I'm doing well. This was an easy day in Kansas City. It's nice when, you know, your team gets a 29-point lead and just kind of coast against a good team. That makes life easy in the sports radio world.
Well, that leads us to our first question. The Kansas City Chiefs, are they good?
No.
Okay, because it feels like they might be, but then who knows? So it's and that's almost a broader question, because it feels like there's, other than the Patriots, there's really no one good.
Well, I mean, the Bengals too. You got to remember 8-0, and we'll play again tomorrow for a chance at 9-0. And then the Panthers are also 9-0, oddly enough. So in the AFC, it's just the two.
Okay.
I mean, it's the Patriots and Bengals right now, and the Bengals have taken even longer than the Chiefs to win a playoff game. So. I mean, everyone can pump the brakes a little bit on that, too. I think the Chiefs are average. You know, this is the easiest part of their schedule. I think the combined schedule for the rest of the way, its teams are a combined 20 games under 500. So,
wow.
I mean, you're going to have a shot at this thing. There's two other teams with you at 4-5 and two teams ahead of you at 5-4. But, I mean, certainly the door's open. You just got to get through the easy part of the schedule.
Well, and I still think you have a lot of the – you have the AFC West games ahead of you, so that can really go a long way if you start putting – those games away, it's kind of that double. That
you
double
play three of the teams ahead of you, actually, in the rest of the schedule, including the Raiders twice, who are one of the teams at 4-5 with you. So, right. Yeah, big chunk of who you've got left are the guys in front.
So, with the Chiefs, though, what's their big Achilles heel? Because it feels like, you know, we've got a decent quarterback. Now we have Jeremy Maclin. But then that's, like, what else do we have? So it's like, where are we struggling at and where are we good?
Well, the biggest problem has been, you know, putting up points in bunches. So even today, you force 5 interceptions alone and then continue to just have to rely on Cairo Santos to kick field goals. So that's not good enough if your team is looking over it. And the defense was really bad the first 4 games. In the last 5, they've let up the least amount of points per game of anyone in the NFL. But it's come against bad teams. I mean, you've played the Steelers when it was Landry Jones. Peyton Manning didn't look like the same today. They've played kind of the scourge of the bottom of the NFL. So once they play a good offense, I think that'll be kind of a test. So defensively was a big problem for the first 4 games. And then just not being able to put the ball in the end zone rather than, you know, settling for field goals in the NFL sometimes will cost you.
So the good news is we don't suck, but we're not good. We're just getting by.
It's another one of those. I mean, maybe things have changed, but right now, I mean, I said it on the air. You know, I host a show every day from 11 to 12, and I was talking on the air about, you know, like, it might be better for you as a Chiefs fan if the Chiefs had just lost this week so that maybe you could accept where you were. The problem with being stuck at 8-8 in the NFL is that it doesn't feel like you ever get good enough to make playoff runs, and you're never bad enough to take a quarterback in the top 5. You're just the Dolphins or the Cowboys. Those teams that hang there at 7-9, 8-8, 10-6, you just want to make a stride eventually. To hang there for 3, 4, 5 years, which Chiefs won 11 games and then 9, so if they won 9 again this year, I mean, they'd be close to averaging 10, you know, 9.5, 10 wins a year. But you've got to get past that hump in order to be like an actual Super Bowl contender.
So does the NFL have any way, or does it need to be combated for that? Because like with the NBA, I feel like they have the lottery, so even if you're, say, the 12th worst team, you still have a shot of getting out of that middle-of-the-road hump that exists.
I think it's an appeal to do that because they don't want teams tanking either, like the old suck-for-luck campaign,
right,
you know, that everyone was advocating for. But I think the NFL is still, like, the NBA is unlike any sport in the sense that, man, when a guy at the top of the league, like, when it's LeBron James, number one overall, everyone knows it. Like, there's no hint in basketball. There's so few great players, you know it.
Well, and I think it changes the entire game. It's 1/5 of your team, so it can drastically improve your performance.
Way few people on the rosters. Like in the NFL, sometimes every year you think you have Andrew Luck and Jamarcus Russell. Now, Luck was an extraordinary, you know, talent as far as that goes, but every year there's 5, 6 quarterbacks that people convince themselves into. So I think it's a little bit less any of that. I mean, the Chiefs haven't taken a first-round quarterback since the Todd Blackledge pick, so that's kind of on them, too, not just picking in the top 5. But, you know, they're just kind of average right now. Things could change. Like, I could get a different opinion of it. Sure, Kendrick West is legitimate. Marcus Peters leads the team in pass deflections and interceptions. So there's a big young core of this team that could be good. But, you know, you just got to try to find a way to get past 500.
Well, a team that's past 500 in Kansas City is now the defending World Series champions.
So fun.
The Kansas City
surreal,
Royals.
Doesn't it? Does it?
It's so surreal. I mean, growing up in Kansas City, I'm 30 years old, so I really have never known of the Royals to be good. Like, I can still remember in 2003 when they started off 9-0, and everyone was like, "This is the greatest thing in the world," you know. And now we're World Series champions. So, tell us a little bit about what made that team so special. I mean, obviously you get hot at the right time and that helps, but it seems like the last 2 years, because even last year they went to the World Series as well. So what made this team so special?
Well, and you know, like you said, I mean, I'm 31. I grew up in Kansas City. I can't remember the team being good either. I remember times rooting for 9-0, and I held on to that for almost a decade in Kansas City. So in 2013 is where the team really started to make that jump up, where they were back above, you know, multiple games, 10 games above 500 for the first time since that 03 season. And then the following season obviously made the World Series run. I mean, the key has been the development has been there. They had a system that they went with, and it just seemed to work. And this year's team, it did seem like one of those, and every championship team did, like, well, it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
But any team that's down 4 runs, 6-2 in game 4 of the ALDS, in which they're already trailing 2-1 on the doorstep of elimination, the second they got past that, there was almost no doubt in my mind that they were going to win it. I picked them to win it in 6 against Toronto. I picked him to win it against 6 in the Mets, and it only took 5. But there was nothing that ever gave you the indication that it wasn't. I mean, the team, it was a better team than last year, and that's where I think the confidence was. Once they got past the Astros, it was a better team that fell 90 feet short from tying the World Series the previous year. Mm-hmm. It was a better lineup. I thought the starting pitching was on par, and the bullpen was deeper, which you saw in games like where Chris Young is the winning pitcher in Game 2 of the World Series, right? That's a perfect example of depth for a team. Like, you had more than they did, eventually outlasted it. So, to me, I mean, it's one of those, like, yeah, it's just special. It's a special team. But Joe Buck, who, you know, people love to kill in Kansas City, was talking after the World Series and said he thought that it was the best team he had seen personally in the 20 years he had been covering the World Series himself. So in the 20 years he's been calling the World Series, it's maybe a little less than that, but he said that that was the best team. He could make the argument that that was the best lineup he had ever seen, and that includes the 98 Yankees who were, that's an incredible lineup.
Yeah,
but
phenomenal.
Deep, 1-9. I mean, so, you know, when you have that kind of balance in your lineup, Alex Gordon was hitting 8, it just makes your life a lot easier. So, I mean, it just kind of felt like a team of destiny.
A quick sidebar from the Royals conversation. You brought up Joe Buck. Tom and I really couldn't understand all the hate of everybody in Kansas City because we feel like he might be one of the best. Well, we feel like he might be one of the best commentators in all of sports.
I think he is. Yeah. I think Joe Buck does a great job. I think his dad was really good, and I think Joe Buck might be better. It was just really the hate was fueled from being sad the Royals lost the World Series. And they're like, well, he just wouldn't shut up about Madison Bumgarner.
Well, how could you not?
Since I haven't shut up about Madison Bumgarner. It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
Exactly. Like, you, as a national game, when you're a fan in, let's say, Cincinnati, and you're watching the Royals play the New York Mets, you care about the national story, not that Lorenzo Cain is 1-for-2 in his last, you know, 3 at-bats against left-handers. You talk about, for this example, Madison Bumgarner's insane pitching performance. And I think people just
Even say Harvey's up until
exactly.
The
so, yeah, it was just
well, and then the Royals coming back became the story of that World Series, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, oh, boy, you can't count this team out. What's going to happen? They might score a run. Anytime the Royals got someone on base, the commentator started. But you talk about what will be the storyline people talk about when they're like, hey, remember that 2015 or that 2014 World Series? From the 2015, you'll remember, man, those Royals, this came back from everything. And in 2014, you'll remember Madison Bumgarner. I mean, you talk about the story that's going to play for a long time.
Right, exactly.
So then back to the Royals. How sustainable is the model? Is next year are we going to have a drop off, or do you think they'll be able to kind of do the moves they've done before and piecemeal back together?
Well, you like to think that. I mean, Dayton Moore, I have all the confidence in the world, and the clear window for this group is 2 years.
Okay.
And that includes, like, you know, getting the decisions right in both left field and right field in the offseason, and then getting a little bit better at starting pitching. And you know, you're going to need to add a few bullpen arms, whether that come from the minor league system or from finds like Ryan Matson, guys that people had no interest in coming into the offseason. So moves will have to be made like that. But I think the definite window is 2 years because the core is here. Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar, Mike Moustakas, you know, even whether you like it or not, Omar Infante is going to be around at least another year because his buyout's too high this year. And then Eric Hosmer and Salvador Perez. So the biggest core is here for the next 2 seasons. So that's the window for this group, where they should be a playoff team for sure for the next 2 seasons. But beyond that, it'll just be, can Dayton Moore do it again? Because he's going to have to continue to get the cheaper free agent contracts right. So even Jason Vargas, who didn't pitch this year, 4-for-32, that was the right contract. Or Ryan Matson and Chris Young for 1-for-650,000. It's sustainable if he can continue to get those decisions right, and there's enough coming from the minor league system to replace the guys that go. So when it's Alcides Escobar's time to go in a couple of, if it is, it's time to go in a couple of years, is Raul Mondesi ready to play that part? So, I mean, you don't really know beyond 2 years, but at least, I mean, the bare minimum, the team's going to be right in the mix for the next 2 seasons with a chance to win it all again. So I don't know what more you can ask for. Other than that, you're just kind of hoping that he continues to get it right.
Well, with the three big names as far as our free agents, what's your opinion on them coming back? Alex Gordon, Johnny Cueto, and Ben Zobrist. Of the three, are we getting all three back? Are we getting two of the three, one of the three, none of them?
I think you're hoping for one. I think Cueto's out. I think Kansas City and Dayton Moore would be happy to give him, like, 1 year for $20 million. They'd give him $25 million for one, I'm almost convinced. And the same goes with Alex Gordon. But Dayton said before, I don't know if you guys have heard him before, but he said before that it's against his organizational philosophy to give someone 5 years. Like, I just don't know if I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was going to do that for somebody this year, it wouldn't be Johnny Cueto, it would be Alex Gordon. So because of the tenure he's had with the team and, things like that. I think your best bet, I mean, if Alex Gordon, if FanGraphs and the other, salary sites are correct, and Alex Gordon's going to get 5 for $90 or $100 million, I don't think he's back with Kansas City. Zobrist, if you're talking 3 for $45, you can have a conversation. But if someone's willing to go the fourth year, that's the problem. It's not the annual per year. It's the truth is that it's the number of years they have the biggest issue with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've read reports and talked to people who say that the Royals are more interested in going 3 years at Alex Gordon with maybe a club option for a fourth. And it's almost certain that somewhere in the market he could get five.
Right.
Yeah.
And in baseball, like in football, 3 to 5 is not a huge difference. I mean, it is just like anything, but in baseball, contracts are 100% guaranteed. So
yeah, it's
even if they
major.
Offer you $17 million a year versus the Royals offering you 20, you're guaranteed all that extra money.
Right.
It's just yours, no matter
yeah.
what.
And just with the payout structure being the way it is in Major League Baseball, there's not that salary cap, so some teams can afford to pay that, and you're just going to lose guys. So, yeah, I kind
of
feel you.
I mean, the Royals were middle of the road. I mean, at $125 million, they were essentially middle of the pack. So, I mean, I think they'll be closer to $135 or $140, so there's more money to spend. I just don't know if they're willing to go the years, not the per year price.
So you'd mentioned you're 31 and you grew up here in the metro.
Yep.
I'm assuming lifelong Royals and Chiefs fan. Is that correct?
Yeah, grew up cheering for the local teams.
So
whether win or lose, I guess that's mostly lose.
So what got you to doing radio Monday through Friday from 11 to 12? How did we get to that point?
Well, people sometimes fall into this work, and for me, it was kind of one of those lifelong things. I started doing, my middle school had like a television program that ran once every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I did camera operator for that,
and
then I would do over-the-intercom announcements, and then starting in seventh grade, I would watch SportsCenter at 6 and 7, and then from 8 to 9, because they used to run in the morning, it ran like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they just run it like 7, same episode like 7, 8 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd watch the first couple, and then I'd mute it and do my own play-by-play. I'd do my own sports center with instead of, letting the guys talk. And then come high school, we had closed circuit television that ran 3 days a week. And I was the sports announcer for that and, kind of grew up loving watching sports. And I was never good enough to play all of them. I tried to play all of them, pick up football, basketball, baseball was the one I played the most growing up. And I tried to play them all, and eventually it was pretty clear to me that I was going to be better at talking about it than I was playing it. But it was always for me. I took a quick break and worked for my dad's company for a little bit, decided I wanted to go back to school and kind of follow the dream, I guess, as it was. And so went back and then went straight into journalism. Didn't ever think about anything else and got lucky enough to land over at 810.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good place. I was over there for about 3 years. In 2010 to 2013, it's a really great place. My next question for you, though, is doing the Monday through Friday grind as it is with sports talk radio, what keeps you motivated or how do you make sure that you're on fresh topics? Because, for example, come Wednesday, the Chiefs victory, it'll be fine, but it's kind of has passed now, but we're not in Royal season. You know what I mean? So what keeps you going? Where are you trying to find those fresh ideas or topics to talk about?
Well, I do kind of subscribe to the newer mentality of sports radio, that it's not, I want to talk about what sports fans are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do talk Chiefs and I talk Royals and sporting and things happening around all those different leagues and that concern sports fans. But, when Star Wars comes out, I'll probably talk about that too.
Right.
So, I think there's always entertaining things to look for. And there's always I do try to think of fresh angles. Like, what hasn't somebody thought about this topic? It's some mix. I think you use the sports when the topics are there, when they're important, and when you feel like they're entertaining and interesting to Kansas City, and you talk about those. And then beyond that, it's to do it every day. You better talk about yourself, because if people don't know who you are, I think they don't know that, you know, your opinion matters less. And that's what a lot of the really good hosts in Kansas City do, is you know things about them. I talk about my life on the radio, and I talk about things going on in the world that other people care about. I mean, you know, Walking Dead is DVRing now, so
right.
Probably, you know, like it's sitting on the DVR, so mm-hmm. I'll catch up with it, and, you know, I think it's got to be a mix, you know. Monday through Friday, now see, I'm only 1 hour right now, so you talk about a four-hour show 5 days a week is very different, and I do a SportsCenter-style show from 5 until 6 on their sister station as well, 99.3. So I do 2 hours of radio each day. One is very news-focused, so I know what I'm looking for in that. I'm looking for news, national and local. Mm-hmm. And the one-hour talk format, I'm just looking for stuff that I want to talk about, and then I think other people will want to talk about. So whether it's a really sports-heavy show, or if it's, you know, when the new Star Wars movie comes out, or it's what happened on The Walking Dead last night, then that's what we'll talk about. Sports comes in all of that.
It
doesn't have to just be that.
They always said in college, I remember I took a sports communication class, and they said you can always tell when they're out of topics or out of ideas when the conversation of, should Pete Rose go in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's when you know, yeah. Like, there's nothing
Rushmore
to talk about.
Mount Rushmore is always two.
Right. Like,
who's on your Mount Rushmore Chiefs players of all time? That's, well, you're dead.
You've
really run out.
So it sounds like in the sports world of radio, you're kind of in the same thought that maybe Tom and I are, where we work in, you know, more commercial, just, you know, music radio or even news formats. We've kind of talked to about where they struggle in new media against, like, Pandora and podcasting, where we've tried to explain that I think with the new wave is that it's got to be more conversational. It doesn't have to be a presentation. So it sounds like you mentioned the new way of thinking in sports radio. It sounds like you're thinking along the same lines.
Yeah, I mean, for 3 years in a row, every year on President's Day, I've been hosting, and we come in, and I make people play Grayson the Great. My nephew Grayson, who is, I mean, now 10, but when he started it, he was 7. So 7, 8, and 9, he's done it 3 years in a row, and I make him do presidential trivia against him
nice.
On President's Day. And they never win, because for whatever reason, presidents is what he's completely hooked on to.
He's got it figured out.
But I give him a chance to win prizes, even if they can't beat Grayson. I mean, it is still entertainment. I mean, it's sports, but in the end, people want to be engaged, and you've got to get them things to be engaged about. If we're just going to talk about the Chiefs' passing attack, still, you know, that story's played.
Right.
If you want to talk about something different inside of that, or you have a fresh idea for how to fix it, then I'll listen. But, you know, people still want to be entertained. I mean, you've got to find that line of sports and entertainment that's, you know, it's fine, but it's there.
Yeah. Well, good, man. I'm glad you came on here. Let's give everybody the plugs. We know you're on 810 WHB, you said 11 to 12 every day, right?
Yeah, and then I'm on ESPN Kansas City, which is their sister station that just started about a couple months ago. I am on from 5 until 6 for SportsCenter Kansas City as well. So just a little bit of everything. And then, you know, you'll catch me on 810. I did all the pre and post for the Royals World Series, or postseason run entirely, so... You kind of catch me all over the dial. I like to say I'm kind of the jack-of-all-trades guy.
Yeah, sounds like it, definitely.
So before we get to that, how surreal, you're a lifelong Royals fan growing up, now you're doing pre and post for the entire postseason run, wasn't it? I mean,
yes, my favorite moment, and listen, I mean, there's still plenty of moments left in radio, but it's going to be hard to top. My favorite moment to this point was post-game, World Series, they just won it. So Game 5 of the World Series, they just won it. Been on the air for like 40 minutes. And I'd spoken with Frank White before the game. I said, hey, you know, you're going to have time, or we're just trying to line up some people that might be available. And so, like, you know, I called Mark Tian, who used to be a player, and I'd gotten in touch with, you know, McCray and other guys that, like, are in and around the station. But Frank is like, you know, I'm going to this party. I'm not sure it's really going to work out, but, you know, just keep in touch just in case. I'm like, yeah, no big deal. Like, 40 minutes into the post game, he was texting me like, hey, man, I really want to come on. I got to talk about it. I'm like,
wow.
Frank White is texting me asking if he can come on and talk on the radio. Yeah, of course. Yes, please.
Yeah, please, Frank. Yeah.
You're on the 85 team. Yeah. So beyond surreal is the answer.
I remember I was pulling up here to work before that happened, before the game started. I remember you saying, hey, if we win this thing, we're going to go all night. I don't care what time we end. We're going. So that was fun, man. Well, and where can everybody find you on the online presence? You got a Twitter and all that?
Yeah, at Cody B. Tapp on Twitter. I recently got verified to Tim and Tom.
Whoa.
For no good reason.
Wow.
They verified some legitimate people, and then somehow I got mixed up in it.
No, you are legitimate now.
Yeah.
If you're Twitter verified, you're somebody now.
Yeah, I've got a blue check mark and everything.
Yeah. Like
but heck, Cody B-Tap is on there.
Okay, good. And then, of course, the check out all the 810 stuff, and yeah, I'll have
y'all
on there, too. Well, good. I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to get some more insight on the Kansas City teams here in the good old city of Fountains.
Yeah, and the Chiefs. Not good.
Yeah,
but
hey,
no.
We don't suck.
I like how he sighed and went, no. You know, just like, much as I want to say they
yeah,
are.
You know. Well, and it's always good. I've always felt like as long as your teams aren't bottom basement, then
right.
You're okay. You know, there's
well,
not too much.
We kind of got into that conversation of, is it better? Because I remember talking to you at 1-5. I said, at this point, I kind of hope they just lose them all.
Right.
And let's go get some draft picks.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're a competitor.
You're still rolling the dice. And, exactly. Yeah, you're a competitor. And look, they still have a chance to make the playoffs. So
there you go.
Shows why maybe I'm not playing professional sports.
Yeah, maybe that's why you're talking on a microphone and not playing a sport.
That and my lack of physical abilities.
Yeah. And it's good to see that the Royals, from his insight, have at least 2 years. So
yeah,
we can ride this train for 2 more years.
Yeah, if they don't make playoffs next year, I'm coming for them and say, hey, you promised me,
yeah.
Cody.
Cody.
What is the deal?
Yeah,
here?
Cody, we'll call in every day,
every
Monday
day.
Through Friday, from
you
11 to 12.
You told me that. Yeah, all right. We'll get out of here, but check him out. You heard him talk. He's good. He knows what he's talking about, and he's been around.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it.
Yeah,
check him out. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and Tom's going to tell us what's happening around Kansas City this week.
Oh, I am.
What you can do.
Yeah.
Instead of listening to a podcast.
Well, do it while you're listening
to
a podcast.
Yeah, you can on your way to these things.
There you go.
Listen to the podcast.
Ha-ha. Well.
That's when we come back to the Tim and Tom Show on the Trending Topics Network. Connecting you to Kansas City through local news, topics, and conversations. It's the Tim and Tom Show. Yes, and there's a lot coming up around Kansas City this weekend and week. I guess we are in the weekend. Sunday night when we record this. I don't know when you're listening to it.
Most likely Monday through Saturday. One of those days.
Yeah. Takes you that long?
There's been times I've listened to it on Friday.
Yeah, I'll go with that. So Tom likes to tell us what's coming up this week, things you can go to. Obviously not everything. There's too many things to tell you about here. But we'd like to give you some of the highlights, some of the big notable events that you can go do.
The fun ones.
The fun ones. So what do we got?
So November 16th at the Midland.
At the Midland.
Got a good family event.
Arvis Bank Theater at the Midland.
Yes, exactly.
How angry do you think people would get if forever you just called it the Midland?
The Midland.
If you just overemphasize the land.
Midland.
Hey, we're going to go to this concert at the Midland.
Like what?
What?
Yeah. Cool quip.
Yeah, at the Sandstone.
But anyhow, at the Midland,
yes.
November 16th, got a good family event. America's Got Talent Live.
Oh, that should be fun, though.
I haven't watched it this year.
I haven't watched it either, but those America's Got Talent, it's always a variety show. Yeah.
Exactly. You got your jumping people, you got your singing people, you got your funny
people. These
people
jump, these people sing,
these people are funny, these people move.
This guy makes puppets talk.
There you go.
There you go.
So November 16th, that's at the Midland. America's Got Talent Live.
Live.
Also November 16th, and this is an exhibit that goes till May 1st, so it started November 15th, but obviously we're going to start
with today.
So November 16th. Going to May 1st, it's Da Vinci the...
Oh, yes. I heard about this.
Yeah, at the Union Station.
I love Da Vinci.
Yes. It's hands-on exhibit of Da Vinci's life, research, and art.
Which, if you don't know, Da Vinci might be one of the most intriguing people that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just think painting here, Mona Lisa, Da Vinci, right? But he was an inventor. He did all kinds of amazing things that, like, people literally, like historians think, this guy might be one of the most, like, influential people that ever lived.
100% agree.
Yeah.
And at this exhibit, it features fully built life-size inventions, as you mentioned, and more than 20 fine art studies.
Yeah. There's some inventions that they think, had he been able to follow through and make them, it would have advanced society hundreds of years ago past to where we haven't even been able to do now.
Crazy.
Nuts.
So go to the exhibit. Yeah. You got until May 1st.
There's some things that they don't even understand now. They look at it and they're like, I don't know what he's trying to do here, but it looks amazing.
It looks awesome.
Yeah. So go see that.
Yes. And then November 18th at the Midland.
At the Midland.
We have True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Where's Larry Tour. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
And it didn't really give a description.
I'm assuming you're all going to go look for Larry.
I assume. But they're funny. Have you ever seen the show?
How many times do you think a guy named Larry in the crowd goes, I'm here. I'm Larry.
I'm Larry. Let me see your ID. It says your name is Jeff.
I'm Steve.
Yeah. Damn it.
It's my middle name.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. No, it isn't.
It's so Lawrence.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so they're funny. Have you ever watched that show?
No.
I have.
No, I've heard of it,
one.
Though, but
yeah,
I've
yeah, they put
it.
Like wires in each other's ears, and then like, okay, now you have to bark like a dog.
Right.
And they're like at a, you know. The,
which is fun.
Yeah, like a music hall or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. So.
David Letterman used to do that a lot on his show
right.
with people. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
So that is at the Midland on
Midland.
The 18th.
Yep.
Then November 19th.
We're going to call it the Midland.
Yeah, that's
now,
our
right?
new thing.
All right.
At the Midland. So November 19th, though, Apple's co-founder, Steve Wozniak.
Yes.
Will be helping Helzberg Mentoring Program celebrate 20 years in Kansas City at the Kaufman Center of Performing Arts.
It's a big name.
Barry.
One of the most influential people in society
well,
today.
Here's a little tidbit. Tickets start at $75.
Yeah.
So it's gonna cost you a pretty
the
penny.
The things that man has done or advanced
mm-hmm.
is in your pocket. You might be listening to us right now on a device because of his thoughts and ideas.
Exactly. And so it's going to be there's going to be a moderator. He's going to kind of do a Q&A with selected people in the audience, and you're just going to really hear a discussion about his life, his work, his thoughts on the future of technology, and obviously he knows something about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So it should be definitely an interesting thing, and that's going to be not at the Midland, but it's going to be at the Kaufman Center of Performing Arts.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes.
KPAC.
Now, here's some fun. Yes. Here's some fun things to do.
Yeah.
Or the last thing. It's really, really fun. I'm interested in this the most. November 19th, it's Yelp's Trivia Night at 75th Street Brewery.
This sounds intriguing.
Yes. It's an event that feeds... Man, I cannot talk.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, I'm done. So let's just end it right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right there.
Hit the music.
Yep,
no.
yep.
The event features complimentary craft beer.
Oh.
Trivia.
I like beer.
And it said...
And I like trivia.
Good times.
Ooh, and
good I time. Love trivia nights.
I'm a fan of all three of those
I
things.
Love trivia nights at bars because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I like coming up with the team name. I like the topics because it's off the wall.
Well, and the camaraderie, too. And especially, like... There's jokes flowing around when somebody gets something wrong.
Oh, of course,
there's,
yeah.
You look like a superstar when you get something right. You're like, I knew that!
Yeah.
I knew he played Johnny on Where's...
Yeah.
You know, whatever, yeah.
Oh, you were so great at knowing season 3 of Family Matters.
Yeah,
like,
But now you don't know this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah. I love that. So it's Yelp's Trivia Night at the 75th Street Brewery. Again, the event features complimentary craft beer, trivia, and, quote, good times.
Yeah, so go have some good times. If you're at any of these events, shoot us a picture on the Twitter, at Tim and Tom KC, or the Facebook, facebook.com/TimandTomKC.
Come on.
Do those things. Connect with us.
Connect. Create a community.
And
that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and we'll be back here next week for the Tim and Tom Show on the Trending Topics Network.